I'd like to welcome you to our EMC Squared conference call, where we host one of the founders of EMC Squared to discuss AIM and a relevant topic each month. This is Judy Greenough. I'm calling in from Las Vegas, Nevada, the headquarters of EMC Squared. I'll be your host this evening as we spend an hour with the AIM program developer, Stephen Lewis, also the co-founder of EMC Squared and co-author of the book, Sanctuary, the Path to Consciousness. The AIM program of energetic balancing is a spiritual technology available to tens of thousands of people now worldwide since 1998, and we invite you to access a host of information at either the facilitator who invited you to this call's their website or aimprogram.com. Tonight's call is, the topic is Overcoming Obstacles in Life with the AIM Program. And along with this topic, my guess is we'll be discussing the very active energetic year that 2009 has been, and Stephen, I'm sure, will provide some insights as to how that year might be ending as well. But first, as always, I'm asked to remind our listeners that energetic balancing is not healthcare or medicine, and it does not diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. EMC Squared's spiritual technology assists you in healing yourself. When discussing energetic imbalances that have names that are the same as or similar to the names of diseases, we're talking about energetic imbalances only, not about actual diseases. Energetic imbalances are vibrations in consciousness on the spiritual plane. Stephen, again, good evening, and thank you so much for sharing the next hour with us.
It's my great pleasure, Judy, and hello to everybody out there who's listening, and in fact, those who aren't listening, hello to you also.
I think that's a good start. We always have a lot of listeners after the fact, Stephen. Well, where do you want to begin with tonight's call?
Well,
can we talk a little bit about how the year's gone so far and what's been happening currently?
You know, I want to begin where you take me.
Okay, well, let's do this. For the benefit, I know we've got a few people at least, Stephen, that are relatively newcomers to the program, veterans as well, but for the benefit of maybe some people that aren't familiar with AIM, in a nutshell, which I know is difficult to do, but you do it so well, maybe let's just start with a summary, a reminder, if you will, of what the AIM program is, what your work is all about.
All right, well, first of all, it's important to understand it. You have to say, is this going to be the answer in a nutshell or from a nutcase or both? You never know, but let me very, very simply tell you this. The AIM program is a spiritual holographic technology that very simply helps you in the process of healing yourself. Now, when I say helps you, it really does something a little more. It compels you to heal yourself. Still, you do the healing, because nobody in the world can heal you but you. And that is not blasphemy. That's what every spiritual leader has taught us, and it's quite true. But there's a lot of help available. This is the most powerful tool I know of to help you heal yourself of anything that needs to be healed. It's the most powerful tool I know of because it's 24/7. It's, if you were seeking prayer, imagine praying 24/7. It is unceasing, unremitting, and relentless. And you can and will heal whatever you need to heal, whether you acquired it, having a good time, or whether you brought it with you as a hereditary or karmic thing, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, there is absolutely nothing about you you cannot heal. The AIM program is the most powerful tool imaginable in helping you heal yourself.
Excellent summation, and I'm just going to add to that, that along with the AIM program being 24/7, the beauty of it is the comprehensiveness of it, which is thanks to you being so relentless in your pursuit of identifying imbalances.
Well, yeah, I am relentless, but you know, that's just part of who and what I am, because it's an extraordinary blessing. I mean, just consider it, and I know you have the same feeling. That is, if your burning passion in life is what you do, and if as a result of that you are able to help thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, potentially millions and millions and millions, and that's what you do with your life, you're very lucky, you know. I mean, I've met a lot of people. I'm not a kid. I'm card-carrying geriatric.
You got to stop that label.
Well, it's true. It's true. It's true. And I've met a lot of people who have great, great courage, because what they do is something that they feel they must do, not what they feel that they love or care deeply about. And they make those sacrifices and do what they must do rather than what they want to do.
Right.
I can do what I care most deeply about, do it, help others in the process, and say that is what my life is about. I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed.
Well, we are certainly glad. And I know you, many people may be surprised to hear your voice, because you announced last week that you were taking a little bit of time off for the first time in like 9 years, and here you are. So,
yeah, well, I am taking off, but I, you know, this is a phone call. I could be anywhere and make this call, but I'm taking time off from being at EMC Squared in Las Vegas, Nevada.
But we still feel your presence here. Well, and one of the many reasons that that time is so well deserved, as I said earlier, Stephen, I know 2009 has been, as far as new hereditary imbalances, it's been about twice as active as the calendar year 2008 has been. So you found a lot of new hereditary things, a lot of new man-made things. Any of your thoughts over this past year, and then to bring us up to the recent goings-on with the new imbalances?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't see anyone or anything as truly independent and unattached and distinct from everything else. If I am finding more things, it means that that is the need that is occurring.
Right.
It's just like anything else. As I've said in the past, miracles occur as they're needed. If they occurred before they're needed, they'd make no sense whatsoever. If they occur after they're needed, they're obsolete. Things occur as they must occur, and that's something that is part of life. Now, why that is beyond me. I would say that's in the hands of, if you believe in God, and I do, it's in the hands of God. But it's an observation that I think we've all made at some point or other, that when something is needed, it occurs. It's kind of like the real-life version of if you build it, they will come. Remember that Field of Dreams movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of like that.
Do you think, too, maybe, Stephen, that it's also when we're ready for it?
Yes, I think we're ready. It's when we're ready for it. But then, you know, it gets kind of complicated, Judy, because what makes us ready for it? Well, I could just try and answer that question for certainly the rest of this hour and not hardly scratch the surface.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's a master plan. It's kind of, and I think that master plan is very clear and obvious to everyone who's an enlightened master. That doesn't include me. I don't think it includes either of us. So it's all clear to God. It's clear to Buddha. It's clear to Jesus Christ. You know, the rest of us are works in progress and works in process.
That's for sure.
Yep. So,
So, do you want to elaborate a little bit on the frequency that was found and added to the AIM program on December 7th?
Oh boy, do I! I just
I thought you might, and I was hoping you would.
I do, but you know, there's a caveat, and you know, you heard me talk about that, and that is, it remains to be seen what it means.
Right.
Now, and that's because it's kind of like people say, okay, if you can heal everything and anything, how long do you expect to live? It's kind of like that, you know. Now, if I say to you, look, I'm in my 70s. If I say to you, I expect to be alive when I'm 140, it's just talk. It achieves and assumes a different dimension when I'm 139, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Right. Well, that's the entire point. And given that caveat, the hereditary imbalance I found a little over a week ago, I think, was something that was a prion, known scientifically as something that exists, but I've found hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And it's similar to an immune deficiency disease, one that I've seen in many people. It is a naturally occurring immune deficiency disease frequency. When I say naturally occurring, it would mean it's not man-made. It's just like, you know, you can have wool rugs or nylon rugs, and, you know, one's a natural fiber and one is not. It's naturally occurring, but I've only seen it actively, not hereditarily. Now, that's kind of that makes you pause and think, Judy, because everyone eventually appears, from the history I've read, to have an immune deficiency, some more so than others. Some people's immune deficiency reaches full fruition when they're 50, 60, 70. Others live to be 110, 115. But little by little, they seem to age, and eventually they stop aging, they transition. Now, once again, if you believe, as I do, that you're going to come back, fine. But nonetheless, we all are pretty much convinced that whatever is immortal, it ain't the physical body.
Right.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
I mean, I believe in immortality. Many of us do. But I don't believe the physical body is immortal. Now, so this imbalance I found is similar to a hereditary immune deficiency, the first one I've ever seen. So now, what will it mean if you heal it and you don't have that built-in immune deficiency? Well, I don't know. Now, just let me give you a few little pointers and a few little observations I've made.
Okay.
When I look at something I call biologic age, the frequency of how old your body is in terms of its functioning, as opposed to chronology, the best anyone could be was between 28 and 30. No one had a biologic age lower than that.
If they'd been on AIM long enough, right?
That was the best, yes.
Okay.
Now, as this frequency is hereditary imbalance that causes an immune deficiency, as this has gone, people's biologic age has dropped, whereas now I've seen a few at 25. Most are at 26. Their biologic age is younger.
I'll take that.
They are stronger. They are more vital. That's what biologic age means. That's just what that frequency means. It is that simple. And what's going to happen? Now, I know a bunch of theories about how people age and die, but one of the most current and one of the most advanced, really, is the shearing off of something called telomeres. But what if this is a hereditary disease that causes a limitation in telomeres, and that limitation doesn't exist without this? What's going to happen? I don't know. Maybe in the long run, it's a terrible thing. You're going to have too many people. I don't know. However, I think that this is, as we spoke about a few minutes ago, this is the opposite of what is happening on the planet right now. And you've heard me speak about this. And I think that we on this planet, particularly in this country here, this is the worst energetically, are very threatened. That life force is dropping. And I think probably the banner year to perceive that is about to begin in a couple of weeks. And that's 2010. I know about, you know, all of the Mayan clocks and all that, and calendars, but I think it's 2010. And just as that 2010 is upon us, we have the other side of the coin, apparently, but hopefully we'll see, that the thing that's built into us hereditarily that promotes aging up to the point of transitioning, of death, can be healed. What's it all mean? Where's it going to end? I'm going to have to answer you from a perspective of, well, looking back, this is what I've seen, but I can't look back yet.
Right.
I'm really, really bad at looking back at 2012. I'm terrific at 2009, 2008, but that's where it falls short. So this is the latest thing I have found, and it is gone in everyone on the AIM program. And two things are happening, as I said. One, their biologic age is decreasing. It's a good thing.
Stephen, just to clarify, when you say it, I know it was highly prevalent, like we all had it, but would that statement as to it having been detoxed, does that apply to people who've been on the program long enough, not necessarily brand new to the program?
Well, yeah, if you got on the program yesterday, it isn't gone.
Okay.
But if you've been on the program for over a year, it's gone.
Okay.
And if it isn't, it'll be gone tomorrow. It's like that.
Okay.
Okay? And what does it mean? I think it's going to be probably the most powerful hereditary discovery energetically I've ever made. But we'll see.
Well, Stephen, just to, and I know we have other topic to get to, but just to, for the benefit of people who may be hearing about biological age for the first time, this drop that you mentioned from 28 to 30 down to 26, that is huge. Thank you very much for those extra couple of years now. But it's kind of important, I think, for them to know what people, most people not on AIM. I mean, I remember, Stephen, at a seminar you did here in Vegas back in early 2006, and you were demonstrating with a 21-year-old gal, and at the time, of course, her life force was, I think, a 1, but you also checked her biological age. She'd never been on the AIM program. She was 21 years old, and I believe at the time her biological age was like 92. What's the current biological age when you have time to check it for people coming on AIM? What is that up to now?
It's about 95.
Okay.
96 is kind of a cutoff point. People don't seem, almost no one gets past 96. When I check someone who's transitioned,
mm-hmm.
usually their biologic age at that time of transition was 96.
Oh, okay.
It's now up to 95. And that gets back to what we were talking about earlier, Judy. And that is, I think, you're taking a coin and flipping it. And on one side, you've got, you know, life giveth, life taketh away. You've got the polar opposite and extreme. And I think that's what's happening. And I think that all this is being determined by a higher force. I think that's always been the case. And call it what you want. You can call it anything. I call it God, but it's your choice.
Well, certainly. You know, Stephen, I never pass up an opportunity to refer people back to Sanctuary. And I still marvel. I know the program has grown tremendously in terms of effectiveness and comprehensiveness, but if anybody can, you know, hasn't given their book away and not gotten it back, which usually happens, you write about immune deficiency in the latter part of the book. Actually, you know, me, I've even got the page numbers memorized. In 201, 202, you talk about immune deficiency and aging on page 195 and the shift to everything becoming active, which also just ties in. You were saying 11 years ago in the book, you asked us, haven't you noticed that people are falling apart in younger and younger ages? Well, that was 11 years ago, and as you said, it's gotten worse.
Well, you see, there's a guy here in Vegas, I forget his name, he's a realtor, and he wrote a little book called I Think I Smell Garlic.
Oh, yeah.
And I forget his name. I should think of it, but that's okay. I could look online and see it, but we don't find me to do that. And what he's talking about is something that's kind of known. You know, I was talking with Michael Beckwith about a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, that when people cook frogs, if they put them in a pot of boiling water, they'll jump right out, of course. But if they put them in just a pot of water, normal, and just turn the heat on, the frogs keep adapting to the change in environment as the heat goes up, 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 right up to just before they transition, before they're cooked. And this guy said this is what people in life are like. He said, and he hypothesized, right before these frogs transition, they say, well, I think I smell garlic. Okay, so that's basically what I have seen and observe in people. They keep adapting. And they adapt and they adapt and they adapt. I mean, things that were unheard of are now commonplace. People take it for granted. The number of kids with diabetes is, it would be laughable if it wasn't true.
Right.
It's ridiculous, but, you know, ridiculous or not, it is. Any physician will tell you the number of young people with active malignancy and on and on and on is ridiculous, but it's true. What happened was, roughly just about a dozen years ago, was I found a frequency, an imbalance. I found it to be a frequency that was been aerosolized. It had always been, in my mind, a man-made frequency, but it was never in the air.
Right.
It was a frequency that was known as a retroviral frequency. Well, retrovirus, that means reverse transcriptase. It means very simply that it will mutate and change and change and change because it changes with and uses the host DNA. Now, nobody's got the same DNA as anybody else. So that means it's always changing. And eventually it can be mutated into something that's different form. That's what happened. So I saw this and it showed it was an aerosolized, airborne frequency. I said, well, I hope I don't ever see this one again. What a scary idea. I never didn't see it again. And that's when I said, but I was going to retire. I worked very hard, very diligently, and I've been rewarded very well. I've been very successful, thank God. You know, I'm very grateful for all that. It was time for me just to retire to my research, which is what I love most in life. My research, you know, I like to sit and think about things and figure things out. And I went, damn it, there goes Maui. Right down the tubes. Because I understood the message was, you'll retire, Steve, when we tell you to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Being whoever, we all have guides in our life. Whoever and whatever those guides are, when I get the message, it's time to retire, I will take that message happily and say, okay, now I can sit and do my research. Right now, I'm working more and harder than I've ever, I don't know, this is, as I said, my first vacation in like, you know, about 9 years.
Well, and you know, along with that, Stephen, it's like every year you're doing, you know, you do a weekly call. We've got these monthly calls that you're often the guest on, and you're doing tons of interviews in a given month as well to help get the word out there on top of more people coming on the program and Life Force checks and the spirit research with the kids with autism or frequency of down. So, yeah, your workload certainly isn't letting up.
I, for some reason, was chosen to do this,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, there are many, many people on the planet who can look at you and just say very simply, I was chosen to do this work,
yeah,
this task, whatever it may be. And I know what they mean. They know what I mean. And I hope everybody gets to understand what that means, because ultimately it may be a lot of work and hard work, but it's a blessing because it defines your life so coherently.
Yes.
And that's what happened. So anyway, I saw it, and once I started seeing it, began seeing it all just about everybody, and I was looking at, I used to measure life force for years. The average human life force, also dogs, cats, horses, was on a scale of 100 between 95 and 99. Okay? Now, obviously, that wasn't always the case because I've never known of or read about a period in history where people and things and animals didn't transition, didn't die. But right up until that began to happen, the average person had a life force of 95-99. Right now, the average life force for urban adults in this country, excuse me, is 0.005.
Wow.
Okay? And dropping. Now, it's just, that's the inverse of biologic age. At some point, you ain't going to get older biologically.
Good point.
And at some point, your life force, look, if you round off 0.005 to a single digit, what do you get up with? What do you end up with?
0.01?
No. 0.005. 0.05 could possibly be, okay, point whatever. 0.005 rounds off to zero.
Okay.
Now, so we have to now look at life force in terms of three decimal places. What I'm doing. And so, as I wrote in an article about this, and then I rewrote it, called Don't Shoot the Messenger, I am speculating about at what point, when does a number rounded off to zero, Z-E-R-O, become capital Z?
Right, and you wrote that article first in January of this year. You updated it around mid-November, and it's already time to update it again, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and now I don't know if I'm going to update it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now along with everyone else, I'm watching to see if I, this is the big picture in a nutshell or from a nutcase or both. You know, you could be nuts and right also.
True.
Right?
True. Well, for the benefit of our listeners, if they haven't had a chance to read that article yet, Stephen, I just want to remind them that they can go to their facilitator's website. Again, in the events and resources section, there is a link there that says articles by founders, where there are quite a few gems back there written by Stephen and Roberta and Evan, but the Don't Shoot the Messenger updated article is right at the top of the list. So please reference there. They're great.
You can use it on the facilitator's website. You can go to the EMC Squared website.
Right.
It's just aimprogram.com.
Right.
And you can see a lot of articles, because when I find something significant, I try and write about it to bring it to the attention of those who would know, however many they are. And so that's what's happening right now. And that's why we're on this call. But, you know, I want to try and make it positive. I see the struggle in life, I think, is the topic of this call. The struggle is to make sure that life is a positive phenomenon. That's the responsibility, the struggle. That's what we must do. And I think that's what I was told was the purpose of this call. And we must. And, you know, I'm really glad about this frequency I found, because it answers, I hope it answers many, many, many questions. And I know you hope the same thing. We hope so. Because just because my work is in quantum mechanics, it doesn't mean there's no such thing as gravity. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you climb a tree and drop the apple, it'll probably fall down. In fact, you can bet on it. Right? Bet the family farm on that. That apple's going to fall down. Gravity exists. And consequently, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's Newton's law.
Right.
And, you know, as I said, quantum mechanics has not made Newton passé. It's just added to what we know. It's made what we know fundamentally spiritual in its nature. That's what it has, what has happened. And that's part of this entire revolution, isn't it?
It sure is.
I mean, that's the whole thing. This is a spiritual phenomenon. So, that being said, what do you want to know?
Well, again, our topic that we were given was overcoming obstacles in life with the AIM program. And as I thought about the topic, I'm like, okay, obstacles, basically anything that literally or figuratively stands in the way of one's progress. And somehow, Stephen, and I probably wouldn't have said this 6-7 years ago prior to my being fortunate enough to find the AIM program and be on it, that the obstacles are, okay, we can perceive obstacles, or they can become a less a part of our perception, which at least seems to be the case with me over the years, that, as you said, there's an equal and opposite, and it all seems to get down to perception. To me, I don't know. What do you say about obstacles?
Well, you know, this is not a new topic in this sense. I mean, how long in your life have you heard people talking about, would you call the glass half empty or half full?
Right.
And that's not just a riddle or a puzzle or a conundrum, because it is, in a way, it defines how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And a friend of mine once said something pretty clever about it. He said, well, what you are in life is what you give to what you haven't got, whatever that means. Point being, we must take everything and assume it has a purpose. Whether it's a toothache, whether it's ecstasy, whatever it may be. And we must understand its purpose and what it's for. And that is simply understanding life. And we must say, well, yeah, this has a reason. What is the reason? You know, you're allowed to yell when something hurts, but then you have to understand what made it hurt. What did you do to create it?
Right.
Every situation, there's one fundamental question. What the hell did you do to create this?
Uh-huh.
You know, and
you know, Stephen, I learned, thanks to you and Reverend Michael Beckwith, I learned that, yes, I did choose my parents. That was kind of one step for me in the process of of my seeking higher consciousness. And then I would have to say the next step was, okay, I chose my parents. And finally, I realized I got to stop asking what was I thinking, because I know now exactly what I was thinking. And that was kind of a neat thing for me to realize.
Oh, it's extraordinary. It's required. It's mandatory for all of us. And we all know that. And, you know, and that process will never end.
Right.
So here we are at this point, and... Look, let's face it. Your life force, Judy, is 100. It's 100 fundamentally because you heard something that others have heard and said, I believe that I am responsible for my life. I believe that I don't have the right to sit and say, why did you do this to me and that to me and all that? I believe that it's my creation. And I'm taking responsibility for this life that I create. And part of that was, okay, I'm going to go in this program that helps me in the process of healing anything about me that needs to be healed. And so you do it. If the glass was half empty, you would just sit and complain instead.
Mm-hmm.
That's
stay in the victim mode.
That is the pragmatic application of half empty or half full. And it doesn't mean you're not allowed to complain, but you must take responsibility for your life. And take, because without that, without responsibility, you don't have the power to change it.
Right.
And you do have that power. You are truly empowered. And that's the most extraordinary thing that all this has meant to me. Because if you're anything like me, and I think most people are, you grew up just figuring out, well, let's hope I get lucky, because stuff happens, and when it happens, if you can't find somebody to fix it, you are stuff out of luck.
Right.
And that's how I was brought up, and everyone I knew was brought up that way. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. My parents, there have been a whole bunch of books about this for, I don't know how long, forever. I remember my parents had on their bookshelf a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have read that book, but I read it after I was 50. All right? I don't think they ever read the book. And everyone they knew had that book on their shelves because it was a book you were supposed to have on your shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, you know what I mean? And it's been written about so many ways and so many, you know, by so many people. And the point is, it's always been said. It's been said as far back as you can quote anyone. If you go back to Jesus Christ, he wrote, great, you could do much bigger stuff than all this if you had the, you know, of faith of a lousy mustard seed.
Right. Where it starts.
Right. I'm not even sure what mustard seeds look like. I'm not much of a cook.
Not with the mustard seed, but the faith, the belief.
I mean, to me, it comes in a jar. But, yeah, I said, people say, you want mustard? Yeah, sure, I never get seeds. But anyway, that's a different thing. And this is, you know, that's going back, you know, a couple thousand years ago. And before, it's always been said. And very simply, we have no limits. And when you take that, you know, when you take that perspective, then whatever you have perceived as a limitation, you change. Because your only limitation is in your mind. I mean, the first thing my friend Michael Beckwith, I heard him sermonizing about, I went to, you know, a service at the church, Agape, and he was saying, you are a world. Each of you is a world of infinite possibilities. And it's all a pretty phrase, but I began to realize that's exactly the truth. And so here we are. Now, those possibilities exist both for better and for worse.
Right.
That's the thing. And that brings us back to the first moment of this program tonight, you know, that I believe that there are weights and balances. There is a homeostasis, an equilibrium, and that what is happening in the world today, which we've created, obviously. I mean, I don't think much of the problems in the world were created by dogs and cats and horses, do you?
No, I don't think so.
You know?
Or kids.
Not yet, no. Give them time.
Yeah.
However, just like, you know, their diabetes, they haven't earned it yet. Why do they have it? But that's a different story.
That's a good way to put it, Stephen. They haven't earned it yet. That's
yeah,
true.
You know, I mean, 10,000 ice cream cones later or bottles of wine or whatever, and you can say, well, now you got diabetes. Well, okay, well, it's about time. You earned it. These are kids. They haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So that's the point. And you know, we must look at everything, because everything is meaningful. It's like if a football field is 100 yards, every yard gained is equally important as the other yards. And here we are. And so, as I said, back to the beginning, there is a balance to be struck. And have I just found an important, as it's been revealed to me, really, an important fundamental part of that balance, and that is the aging factor.
Mm.
And, you know, and again, I've spent many years with that quandary, you know, nutshell, nutcase. I think it's going to be answered very shortly, one way or the other. That's the point, and that's why we're here on this call. And the answer is not going to be simply revealed to me. It's going to be revealed to everybody.
Yeah, as you said, from what you could tell, everyone had that imbalance, correct?
I haven't seen anybody who doesn't have it yet. And
right.
I have found it in... I haven't checked many animals for it, but I found it in 2 dogs and the 3 cats I've checked for it.
Since you brought animals up, Stephen, do animals have like an ideal biological age? Sorry, I just thought of that question.
You know what? I'm sure they do, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, because, you know, I have my own experiences being on AIM, and you know, I delight when you tell me that the I'm now biological age 26. That's pretty cool stuff, and I'm thinking, all right, he's already got all these other anti-aging frequencies and just a host of things there. You mentioned.
I can't believe you're a woman who likes the idea of being younger.
Yeah, I know that's hard to believe, but hey, that's always been one of my goals. I never wanted to look, feel, or act my age. The last one of those things was never an issue, but you know, I just it's a package deal. I want it all to be vital, so to speak. So yeah, I choose now not to buy in to common conceptions of aging, and thanks to you, I figure I don't really have to. At least that doesn't seem to be the case right now. And every year I do feel better than I did the year before, or years before, so.
I remember when I was in practice, there were a lot of people who felt that they could no longer have children, but they could still, like, work at it. And suddenly a lot of them found that the lady was pregnant. And
oh.
That's happened to a lot of people, you know, I mean... So let's see what happens. I don't think it's going to happen once you no longer have any more eggs.
Right.
But then I don't know what it takes to make those things.
Yeah.
We don't really know the answers to any of these things. Because I'm talking about something that may be brand new. Maybe. We're going to see. And then the other side of it is, you know, there are, what, 50,000 people on it in a world of billions?
Right. A mere fraction.
How many billions are there? Right. And so even if a whole million people got on the program, it would still be a minute drop in the bucket.
Sure would.
And so we'll see. It's interesting. It's kind of funny for me because, you know, you've heard me say it before, that it's an Oriental tradition. It's an Oriental curse to say, may you live in interesting times. Now, but if you say it to someone who's not Oriental, an Occidental, they go, oh, thank you. Yeah, if you say it to an Oriental, they go, yeah, so is your mother. You know what I mean? It's a curse. Well, I'm afraid we live in interesting times, my dear.
Yes, we do.
And let's see what comes to pass.
Well, speaking of those times, Stephen, on another brighter note, we have many enhancing, sometimes I call them the perpetual frequencies because it's not like you deal with them and then they're gone. The enhancing frequencies that are always there for us. And maybe we can talk about a couple specifically that would be particularly significant at this point in time in helping to bolster our courage or get through still some perceived obstacles or whatever.
Well, I mean, you just chose one of the key words just there.
Oh, I did say courage.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there is really nothing more important for any of us than courage. And that is what we need. And I think that's becoming more evident every day. For me, the most important thing comes down to this. We have reached a point where it's absolutely mandatory for us to perceive that we are all in this together. That every lunatic out there saying, we are special, I am special, I am different, I am this, it is like nuts. They're unconscious, and
mm-hmm.
unconscious to me is insane.
Yeah.
Because we are all in this together, and we can prevail together. And I think, I suspect, I fear, the message of life is those who do not perceive that message and receive that message,
well put,
are not going to be around.
Yeah, very well put.
I think that is the critical point. I've said it before. Everybody is chosen. Few call.
Right.
If not few are chosen. Everyone's chosen. Few call. You pick up the phone. Few whatever. But we're in this together. We need each other. I need all the help I can get. Anybody who doesn't understand that doesn't understand a damn thing. You know, I mean, but here, I mean, there are frequencies to help you awaken your consciousness. Okay? I find that to be a frequency many choose and many others don't. What does that mean? How is that going to play out, that people heal themselves and they're healed and they're still unconscious? Nothing's free. What's it going to mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are you curious about that?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's a real big question, okay? Because I don't see anything as accidental, and I don't see anything as free. It's that simple. So now, what are we going to do? You know? It's like here's two frequencies that you've heard me speak about before. Two that Michael Beckwith wanted me to figure out a way to help induce it for those who choose to increase their capacity for unconditional love and increase their capacity for perpetual gratitude. Okay. Many are choosing it, many are not. Let's see. Now, you are. I've checked you because I want to know who's interviewing me. And you've done this, interviewed me many times. And I am by nature kind of a voyeur.
Yes, I know that. From the first time I was interviewed to be a facilitator.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want people talking about this who just see it as perhaps another multi-level marketing thing and just a way to make a few dollars. I want people who understand it and believe in it. And if you don't, we tell you, right now, we see that it's not the right time to be a facilitator. That's all we say. And you were one right away, weren't you?
As soon as I could, back in the good old days, which was 6 months.
Exactly, yeah.
The good old days aren't around anymore. We've told off to a year now, but... Yeah, isn't that a little mind-boggling, Stephen, that at one point people's life forces got to 100 in 5 months?
No, it's not, because they were starting from a life force that in many ways was much higher.
That's true.
All that says is that in that, I don't want to call it progression, okay, but in that pathway, they're starting at a much lower point than they were a few years ago.
Right.
And that's all it says.
Okay.
And it's absolutely true. That's absolutely true, and that's the point. It's not that I have changed in that sense. I don't make the rules. All I do is look to see what's happening. And that's why I say, well, it's getting pretty clear to me that 2010 is going to be energetically the most meaningful year I've ever heard of. And I've read a lot of history. This is going to be the most meaningful. But let's see what happens.
Well, I tell you what, Stephen, I'm in my seventh year now, and we've got just a couple minutes here to wrap the call up. But I've heard many people say, you know, if all that were on the AIM program were the enhancing frequencies, it'd be more than worth it. But it just seems like with every clearing of every new imbalance, that it's like, okay, can I feel like having any more energy? Can I be any more vital, or just another level of clarity? And that you mentioned that one of my favorite enhancing frequencies, perpetual gratitude. I mean, it really feels pretty cool, and you just finally realize that it nothing to do with what's going on outside of you at any time. You just instantly feel, wow, I'm blessed, I'm so grateful. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't take something special outside you to make you feel that good. That's pretty cool. That, for me, means I've come a heck of a long way in a little over 6 years.
What you're really saying is there is less and less that is outside you.
Yes.
Because you are allowing more and more of everything and everyone inside you. Until eventually, Buddha called it being in the oneness, didn't he?
He sure did.
Okay? That's what's happening. Now, this last one that just left, that one that is, to me, looks like the hereditary, if not the hereditary aging frequency, a pretty dominant one, remains to be seen, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
But this last one, I could feel some kind of emotional burden leave. Now,
yeah.
I didn't know a damn thing about it until it left.
Yeah.
It's like not realizing you're walking uphill until the ground levels off.
Right. Good analogy.
You know, and the hill doesn't have to be, a 70% grade. It's just, if you're going up a 5% grade, your leg's going to get more and more tired. However, suddenly when it levels off, perhaps it's only level off to a 2% grade. I don't know. You see what I mean? I don't know.
No, absolutely.
And how can I know? I don't predict things, really. What I do is read what is present.
Right.
And that, that is my gift, my skill, and that's my purpose. So that is something I didn't know I had that burden until I felt it leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I can identify that for sure. Well, Stephen, I'll tell you, this new frequency is another reminder of how important it is to bless any detox that may come, because, boy, you just never know what's on the other side of it, number one. And number two, I want to thank you again for making the time to be on the call and all the calls that you and Roberta and Evan do. I don't know about anybody else, Stephen, but I love this repetition thing that AIM's got going for it, and the repetition that I cherish in the words, hearing you speak and Roberta and Evan, I can use the reminders of my own empowerment. You know, maybe I spent too many years getting really good at forgetting that empowerment, but it's just the reminders I don't think ever hurt anyone, and appreciate all the resources that we have available to us. Thank you.
I think that is why this is the greatest revolution right now, human history. And we are right here, I believe, in the cutting edge of this greatest revolution in human evolution. Everything's evolution. But when the change is dramatic enough and rapid enough and monumental enough, we call it revolution.
Right.
And to that, I can simply say, for me, for you, for all of us, welcome to the revolution.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking, yeah, Merry Christmas to me. I feel like I got an early Christmas present from you with the departure of that frequency.
Well,
even though I didn't have any physical detox with it, it's just like a very noticeable, as you said, noticeable when it's gone.
You did it.
Yeah. Yeah, a little help from my buddy. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, my joy, and my honor.
Well, Stephen, on behalf of, I know, all of our listeners, people, everybody on AIM and our facilitators, I want to thank you and everybody in the office that makes this whole program possible. And I know we all, we just keep getting better and better at counting our blessings. And I'm sure many will agree with me when I count my blessings. I count you twice. So there, you're just going to have to accept that.
I'll take all the help I can get, my dear.
Well, again, thank you so much. Give my love and best to Eileen, and take it easy, because probably going to be just as active a year next year, and we'll certainly be looking forward to any more insights on this this frequency. Thank you so much for being with us.
I'm retiring, so.
Yeah, I know. We wouldn't let you anyway at this point.
Well, anyway, you have yourself a great holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And talk to you guys next year.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Again, thank you for all of our listeners for being with us with Stephen Lewis tonight. If you'd like to learn more about the AIM program, get in touch with the facilitator or go to aimprogram.com. If you have a friend that may not have access to the Internet, I'm looking for the 800 number here. I know I typed it up. It's 877-500-3622. So people can call and get information as well. We want to take care of everybody here. So with that, again, good night, Stephen. Good night to our listeners. And blessed holiday season and very happy 2010.
Good night,
everybody. Good night now.